The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, Zechariah's song. John's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the God of Israel, who has come to his people and redeemed them. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way, to give the people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. And the contemporary reading is written by Joy Cowley and was given as the Pompalia Lecture in 2007. I believe that every soul comes from God and can never be lost to God. I believe that we all have that little spark of the divine in us that yearns to be reunited with God. I believe that from time to time in human history, larger sparks of the divine have come to help and inspire us in our struggles. We call those people saints. 2,000 years ago, the great fire of God joined us in the person of Jesus Christ. He went through everything we could ever expect, including torture and death, to show us the truth of the way. I believe that he still companions us every part of the way, and his love has the power to dissolve our fears. When we know that, we are in the kingdom of heaven, which in the Judaic tradition means enlightenment. For the word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
Let us pray. In these moments of reflection, as the candles softly burn in front of us, adding their light to this summer day, may we see the light. So may it be. Amen. In the gospel reading for today, which Jem just heard, we heard the hymn of praise from Zechariah, the priestly father of John the Baptist, who has been waiting, struck dumb for almost 9 months, let alone all those years previously when he and Elizabeth were longing for a child. He's been waiting all that time to have his say. The story goes that Zechariah was struck dumb at the announcement of John's conception and was only able to speak when he named the boy born John 9 months later on down the world. I don't know if he was a patient man, but Zechariah still had to wait. Perhaps it's a carryover from being a child and looking forward to presents. Yes, I looked forward to presents. But still, the anticipation of Christmas at just around the corner is the major feeling for me each year. As an adult, this is now tempered somewhat by needing shops and businesses to stay open long enough for me to get done what I need to get done before the great New Zealand shutdown, which of course is shorter than it used to be. In some ways, of course, this is an artificial waiting, for this event has already happened. I have to speak to myself sternly each year here at St Andrews about lighting a Christ candle about 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve, that waiting till midnight is not that big a deal, for after all, we know the baby is born, the Christ is here, and we strongly suspect anyway that Jesus was not born right at the stroke of midnight on the 25th of December. Sometimes our waiting is over hesitation, waiting on the brink. And like Hamlet, we wait too long on the threshold of a new moment. We overthink the situation, fear the change coming, resist the upheaval or the new idea, and then we find the moment of opportunity has passed and it is gone. Hillel the Elder was a famous Jewish religious leader, one of the most important in Jewish history. He's associated with the development of the Mishnah and the Talmud. And Hillel is known for two famous sayings. One of them is now a fridge magnet, so it must be famous. He said, "If I am not for myself, who is for me? And being for my own self, what am I? And if not now, when?" That's the fridge magnet part. If not now, when? Hillel is urging his readers not to postpone duty, but in the context in which I'm thinking, I wonder if this can be applied to our duty to ourselves, particularly to our own spiritual growth. Hillel also made the pertinent point elsewhere that sometimes we decide we will do something in that vague moment in the future when we will have free time. But he asked, what if the so-called free time never materializes? And it can be like that with spiritual practice. We pay the bills because there's a deadline at the end of the month, and we might have to pay more money if we don't pay on time. We eat because we're hungry. We take medication because we have symptoms. We meet people because the appointment has been scheduled. But who is it that guards the time we need to spend on spiritual growth for our own refreshment, health, and delight? The time we find most valuable spiritually may not be spent in organized spiritual activities. It can include church, a discussion group, a social gathering connected with a faith community, but equally and sometimes more importantly, we grow spiritually when we make our own appointments with ourselves, or perhaps a beach, or a bushwalk, or a paintbrush, bicycle, or book, or garden. That's when Hillel's question kicks in for me. If not now, when? A supervisor once advised me to make appointments with myself in my diary so that when people asked if a time was free, I could look there and say, no, sorry, I have an appointment at that time. It's a hard discipline to keep, especially when there aren't that many other free moments to offer people. And then as well as time, you need space. Sometimes a noisy coffee shop works, as long as it isn't where your friends or workmates come. Even amid the noise, your thoughts can form an oasis in what Joy Cowley calls a desert of tired words. Or you may have to drive to a beach or a bushy place or an empty church to get quiet around you. And I'm hoping as I speak that you're thinking of a special place you have created, along with a particular time of day or night or week where you go occasionally, perhaps frequently or even constantly for refreshment. If not, get thinking now. Find your place where you can wait on the Spirit to refresh and energize you. When I first got a cell phone, it was a new concept to me that they needed recharging. The landline just sat on the wall and it was always there. No need to be charged, no need to have enough reception, no need to be prepaid or on a plan, except of course for the monthly bill. But when I was first introduced to landlines, my parents paid the monthly bill, so I didn't worry about it. Our spiritual life needs maintaining more like a cell phone than a landline. Just as a mobile phone needs money, energy, and reception, we need a place, a time, and our own hearts open and ready to receive. It used to be you could just rock up to church and plug into the main supply and others would do it all for you, just like a landline to God. Now life is more complicated and more individual, and you need to find your time, your space, and open your heart to whatever will. This isn't intended to be a lecture about being more diligent. It's a reminder of that yearning that's already inside you to be connected to the spiritual flow of the universe. You know already that you want to connect. You remember other times when you did connect or when you tried and failed. All you need to do is start again. There are former reflections and orders of service on our St Andrew's website which might help. And within them, scattered through, are suggestions of helpful books too, particularly the contemporary readings will give you some clues. That might be a good holiday exercise when you might have more time than usual, or at least more unstructured time. So this is a reminder that Christmas isn't about waiting for someone else to do something, for Mary to get on and have that baby, for the wise ones to get to the stable, or for the shepherds to listen to the angels. Christmas is a time for us to recognise the right moment for us to connect with the spirit of the ages.